because that's really kind of the subject of the day, the servant of the Lord. You know, and just kind of personally, one of the things, you know, I pray about for myself is that I would be a servant of the Lord, that I would be a good, acceptable servant of the Lord, right? I don't want to be, you know, we have two kinds, right? You have the unsuccessful and the successful servants. Jesus tells about, you know, the sheep and the goats, right? And you had those that, you know, they thought they were going in, and Jesus says, you know, you who are cursed. And they're like, what? How did that happen? And they were unsuccessful in serving God. And you know, you who were blessed. What? How did, you know, you were successful in serving God. In Isaiah, the servant of the Lord is a really cool topic. Because there's two sides of it. There's Israel, the servant, and then there's the servant that comes, that's to come, right? And I'm going to talk about both of those in different texts. I couldn't just deal with one because it just couldn't get the whole story, right? But one of the things that I want us to think about is our service. How are we doing in face of God? One day, you know, we want to stand. That's why we sang that song, God of Peace. You know, we want to hear, well done. We're well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear, right? So here we have the servant Israel. Those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. Hear you deaf, look you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like my messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. Now, if you remember Isaiah's call, This relates very much to what God told Isaiah. He said, you know, you tell this people, be ever hearing but never receiving or understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving, right? And we talked about that you become what you worship. That's a very important aspect of understanding what it means to worship God versus worshiping something else. These people had worshipped idols. They were supposed to be the people of God, but they had worshipped idols so long and so hard that they became like their idols, their hard hearts, their deaf ears, their blind eyes. And that's what he's describing again. And he asks the question, is there anybody as blind as my servant? Is there anybody as deaf as my servant? And he's talking about Israel. Think about what happened. God called Israel into being, and you know, through Abraham and then Jacob, and then you know, through the history of Israel and Moses, and he called that nation into being. And they were supposed to be servants of the Lord. They were supposed to live under the word of God, under the truth of God, and they were supposed to show the whole world the difference between God and everybody else. They were supposed to live out a holy life in front of all the pagan nations, and the nations would see, oh, that's what it's like to be a person of God. That's what it's like to be in a relationship with Yahweh, right? Well, they failed. They failed so bad. The thing is that when they started worshiping God in a different image, and I brought this up before, idolatry does not necessarily mean you carve something out of wood and bow down to it. All idolatry is to change who God is. It can be in your mind. And we have a culture that loves to reinvent God. Well, I believe in a God that does, and they make it up as they go along. Where are you supposed to get that? You're supposed to get it from His Word. You're supposed to get who He is from the law. You were supposed to listen and then learn who God is, not make up a God. So they destroyed their worship. It became ineffective. They fasted. You know, we see that in Isaiah 58. He said, you know, they fasted and God not listening to them, not listening to their prayers. In Amos, it says, God literally says, stop singing. I don't want to hear you anymore. Isaiah, he says, your gatherings, you could call it their church meetings. He says, I don't want to see them anymore. Just stay at home, because their worship had become so warped and so not what it was supposed to be about that God said, I'd rather you not even do it, right? Now, this is what it means to be a bad servant. A bad servant kind of makes up their own ways, makes religion a ritual, just something you go through, right? And makes their own ideas, their own rules about who God is. In other words, warping, twisting the words of God, all right? And that's what Israel had been doing. They became an unsuccessful servant because they warped the image of God, they warped his word, and they didn't even recognize when they were warned. They didn't even recognize how far they had fallen. You know, they didn't see it. And so God, you know, he reminds them in this text. I mean, this is 700 years before Jesus. He's reminding them, you guys are failing. You guys, you know, who is blind like myself? If you heard that, if you heard a word from God today that talks about you and said, who's as blind as you are? Who's as deaf as you are? Wouldn't that kind of shake you up? Wouldn't that kind of wake you up, right? We don't want to be those who warp God, who warp his word, who twist things to the and to where religion just becomes a ritual thing that we do and totally miss being a real servant of God. Because at the end of the day, only the real servants of God are going to stand before the Lord successfully in the sense of saying, well done, good and faithful servant, right? So God has this nation, has this group of people that is getting it all wrong. And again, at that time, part of the nation was being judged heavily. They were being wiped out and destroyed. And if you lived then, you might have thought, okay, it's over. God's not going to do anything that he promised. He's not going to give us a land. He's not going to give us a place where his presence is going to be there. He's not going to make a nation anymore. The nation's all gone, right? That could have been running through their minds. So at the same time, God gives another word. It says, listen to me, you islands, and hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shallow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. So you think, oh, okay, if you read this without thinking too hard about it, you say, okay, God's going to restore Israel. And he is. He's going to restore Israel. But it's not a nation. It's not a nation. It's a person. Look at the language he says. I, singular, was born, right? My, singular, mouth. He hid me, singular, made me a polished arrow, singular, concealed me in his quiver, said to me, all of those are singulars. In other words, the servant of God, Israel, is now going to be a person, is going to be a person. And who is this person? We know who this person is. He says, from birth you have zikar, you have remembered my name. Now think about that. The idea of God remembering the name on the day of your birth. That doesn't mean, you know, you just came into existence. That means he knew you from way back. And, of course, we know that Jesus Christ was known from eternity. From eternity, God knew who he was, and God set apart this plan. God was the one that told Isaiah earlier, Emmanuel is going to come through a virgin or through a young woman, right? He says about this new servant that this servant is going to have a mouth with a sword. Where do we ever see that again? In the book of Revelation chapter 1, when Jesus is standing behind John and John turns, one of the signs he says, I see out of his mouth is a double-edged sword. The word of God. One of the things that caused Israel to fail to be the servant of God is they did not listen to the word. They didn't follow the word. They didn't take the word to heart. When Jesus comes, his mouth is filled with this double-edged sword. And think about that. It means that it cuts two ways, right? It's a word of salvation. It's a word of joy. It's a word of reconciliation, of hope. It's a word that brings life, right? But it's also a word of damnation, a word of separation, a word of discomfort, a word of shame for all those who don't believe. That's why in Jesus it was this double-edged sword. But it's the word of God. It's the word of God coming out of his mouth, speaking to the nations. Again, establishing what Israel had failed to establish. Establishing a righteousness that Israel failed to do. Establishing a holiness that Israel failed to abide by. Being different. He says, I remember who you were from, you know, before you were born. This other thing, he says, he hides me in the shallow of his hand. And like and you could call this a sharpened arrow. He hid me in his quiver. One of the things we know about God is he had this plan hidden away. Jesus, he knew about. In Genesis 3:15, he mentions Jesus. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, right? He knew Jesus, but it was hidden. It was palmed, you know, like one of those magic tricks. Ooh, I got it right here. It's in the quiver. You know, it looked like all the other arrows. When Satan saw him, he didn't know that he was the Savior of the world. He didn't know God's plan. He didn't understand what God was going to unfold. He didn't know that Jesus Christ was the arrow that when he was put in the bow of Almighty God, it would strike Satan dead in the heart and destroy his authority, destroy his power, destroy death, and destroy sin. He didn't know who this servant was. He thought he could do the same thing to him that he had done to every other servant of the Lord. He'd take him out in the wilderness and you know, test him a few times and come back. And Satan thought he would be victorious. But the servant of God, with the word of God, with the authority of God, went out there and came back the victor, right? This is the servant that God brought into being. He says of him, "You are my servant, Israel. And I will display," you could call it my glory, you could call it the boasting of the Lord. He is Jesus, the new servant of God, is the one that's going to bring about real celebration among his people. I love the pictures of Revelation. I might do that next, you know. The pictures of Revelation where people by the billions are gathered around the throne of God. Angels by the billions gathered around the throne of God in huge celebration of Almighty God. And how does that all come about? Because the lamb that was slain, because that polished arrow, that sharpened arrow, because that man that was hidden in the palm of God's hand, the man who was God, the man who came and destroyed and brought life, destroyed the power of evil, brought life to those who love him, right? He says, you are my servant. You're going to do what Israel failed to do. Israel failed to honor God, to glorify God, to be holy as God is holy. We know the second servant, Jesus. He succeeded in every way that Israel failed as a nation. The other part of this is that, you know, again, is it Israel? Yeah. Because Jesus is not of Israel. It's like the root of Jesse. It was like this stump that was chopped down. And what grows? A sprout comes out of that. And that sprout becomes the Savior of the world, right? It's out of Israel that Jesus is born. It's out of Israel. All the Old Testament, all the work that God did through them, it was preparing the ground, preparing the way for the real Savior, the real servant of God, for Jesus to emerge. Now, I'm going to rush through this part, and you can read it if you'd like. But basically, the point is, this servant is going to be able to face futility, but understand that everything that is going to happen, everything that God has promised is in God's hands. It's not based on what he sees. It's not based on what people say. It's based upon the Lord. It's based upon God's mind, God's work. And that's that. How I take that first paragraph. The second part is his heart, his soul, his whole intention was about restoring people, bringing people back to the Lord. Every one of us who knows Jesus Christ, every one of us can say, yes, I know that servant. I know that he gave himself so that I could become his, so I could follow, so I could love the Lord. And that was his whole mission. His whole mission was to save us, right? He wanted us to be saved. It's not only just that. He says that he's going to go and he's going to be a light to the entire world. He is going to shine out the truth and the love and the power and grace of God. This is what Israel was supposed to do. This was the mission of Israel, to be a testimony to God's greatness, to God's love, to God's holiness, and to his mercy and forgiveness. Jesus fulfilled all that. The new servant, the successful servant of God came, and he did what Israel couldn't do. This servant, will at the end of it all be King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. That last part, it says, kings, you will see him and rise. Princes, you will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. We know that Jesus is the name above all names, and at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is the Lord. Here, that's prophesied. Then he says just a little more about this servant. He says, I will keep you and make you a covenant for this people to restore the land, right? A place, a people, a presence of God. In other words, all the covenant promises are going to be fulfilled in Israel. And who is that Israel? Again, Jesus. You know, Paul makes it really clear to us. How do you become a child of Abraham, right? I believe in God. I believe in his promise. I believe in Jesus. And that makes me a participant in the covenant of Abraham. The land that was promised, the people that was promised, the presence of God that was promised, all of that. I believe in Jesus, and therefore I become a part of that. That's why he came. He came to restore the land, to reassign its desolate inheritance, to say to the captives, come out. To say to the captives, come out. And to those in darkness, be free. Jesus came to set us free. Jesus came to tell us to come out, to turn around, to go and to be with God. Now listen, you had two servants. You had Israel, a very unsuccessful servant. Punished, annihilated for their sin. And you have Jesus, the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, successful in every aspect of the mission of God. Now, who am I going to follow? If I'm going to stand in front of God Almighty and I'm going to be there with him and I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't I have to be like the servant, like the servant Jesus, like the servant Israel, like that successful servant who obeyed and spoke the word of God, who displayed the glories and splendor of God in righteousness and holiness and doing what was right before the Lord, who endured hardship but trusted Almighty God, right? That's Jesus. That's our servant. That's the one we're following, who spread his light. Who spread the truth of God, not just in a little place, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the whole of the world is to hear about this Jesus, this God, to hold out hope to those who don't have hope. Calling people, come out, come on, come in. Get behind the great servant of God and become a servant of God. Be just like him. Do the things that he does. Let's be free. Let's be free from Satan. Let's be free from sin. Let's be free from death. Let's be free in the name of Jesus. Let's follow that servant of the Lord God Almighty that we might be servants. Successful servants for the Lord God Almighty. Jesus. Is the way. Any? Amen. I'm so glad God gave us Jesus. All right. Good. We're going to sing. We're going to praise the Lord. That's right. We're going to celebrate one more time. Yeah. And then I've got Silent Night after that. You're very welcome, sir. Would you sit down and start playing? Almighty God, He is alive. God loves us so. See Him, His hands, His feet, His side. And yes, we know that He's alive.
Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the gifts that you gave us just in coming, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord God, for sending Jesus to set us free, to allow us to be free from sin and free from Satan and free from death, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we could live for you completely, that we could be your servants the way that you, Jesus, were a servant, that we could give everything we have, Lord God, to obey you, to put our faith in you, to live for you, Lord Jesus. Please take care of us this week. Help us to remember each other in our prayers, to remember the family of God throughout the world in our prayers, and yes, to continue to love one another and be kind to one another.